Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, I'm not going to get involved in those things, what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, President Barack Obama has set a deadline of sorts, March 18th. He would like to see health care reform passed in this is a complicated and difficult to understand process in the Senate and the House called reconciliation. His press secretary told the press today that the president leaves for Indonesia and Australia on March 18th. I believe that based on conversations I've had with people in the building, we are on schedule to get this, that is health care reform, through the House by then. Will it pass? And if it passes in its present form, even after reconciliation, will it include federal funding for abortion or not? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin this hour talking with David Christensen of the Family Research Council about health care reform and abortion. A little bit later, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. She's written recently about speciesism, animal rights, and human rights. We'll see what she has to say. And then we'll go into part three of our seven-part weekly series on the penitential psalms. Today, Psalm 38, Pastor Todd Peppercorn will be our guest. You can join us as well for the next hour. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, the 4th of March, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. David Christensen is Senior Director of Congressional Affairs for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much, Todd. I appreciate it.
Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius told ABC News this morning that there will be no federal funding of abortion as part of the president's health care reform package. Is this true or false?
False. It's just simply not true. The Senate bill, which is the bill that is being pushed right now, passed Christmas Eve, and it would have it would allow direct funding for abortion using taxpayer funds. It calls for $7 billion to go to community health centers, and there are no abortion funding restrictions. And President Obama's plan, his proposal, was to actually increase that to $11 billion. So there is a separate provision that was a pseudo-compromise that was included in the Senate bill on tax credits. So when tax credits go to people to help them purchase plans on these new state exchanges that have abortion coverage, the tax credits would have to be kept in separate accounts, and people would pay a separate dollar amount into an abortion fund, supposedly keeping federal and private funds separate. That accounting gimmick, which would violate current law, by the way, was only on the tax credits. There are other provisions, like the community health provision that I mentioned, that would directly be allowed to fund abortion. So Secretary Sebelius's comments are just simply false.
All right. Michigan Representative Bart Stupak said on Thursday that he has counted 11 Democratic lawmakers, in addition to himself, that makes 12, who may be willing to kill the president's health care overhaul over the issue of this abortion language. Can they do it?
They can do it. It's tough. Unfortunately, right now, as I understand it, Speaker Pelosi and the White House are not negotiating or trying to come up with language essentially that pro-lifers can support. I mean, they are flat out rejecting the Stupak Amendment, which passed by 240 votes in the House, with 64 Democrats, including the pro-life Democrats, but also some Democrats who are not 100% pro-life. That was included in the House bill and was rejected in the Senate bill. Well, Speaker Pelosi and President Obama are not pushing or saying that they will support that language. Instead, they're trying to come up with this fabrication that, you know, the bill wouldn't actually fund abortion, which is not true. Those 11 to 12 Democrats need to hold firm. Some of them, including Congressman Stupak, actually support the underlying health bill. And we have issues with disagreement on the rest of the bill, what it would do for health care and families and that type of thing. But on the life issue, Congressman Stupak, Congressman Lipinski, another pro-life Democrat from Illinois, Congresswoman Dahl Kemper from Pennsylvania have been rock solid. The question is whether they can peel off a few more pro-life Democrats or whether they can actually peel off some of the 39 Democrats who oppose the House bill, who are, you know, more fiscally conservative, they call themselves blue dogs. It seems like right now the lobbying effort is to try to peel some of those folks off through various means. So it's going to be very close.
All right. I guess what I need an explanation of is reconciliation. This is a process that by which it seems the only actual legislative recourse for the president and his supporters on health care reform right now. What is it?
Well, it's a reconciliation is the term for a type of budget bill. This has gone on since the 1970s, where when the Congress passes a budget, they have to come up with a budget, and if they make changes to that budget, or if there's they can pass this through a reconciliation process. And the goal was to, in part, require only a majority vote, 51 votes in the Senate. Almost all other legislation in the Senate to pass has to get 60 votes on a procedural motion. That's the way that the Senate was designed. That's the way it functions. They can't get 60 votes. So what they're wanting to do is make policy amendments to the Senate bill without having to go through the 60-vote threshold. And so what they're trying to do is to ram this through on a budget bill. The budget bill, called reconciliation, that requires 51 votes, is only allowed to have provisions essentially that increase or decrease expenditures in current law. And this sounds complicated, but the gist of it is that there's a budget, and if Congress were to try to pass a bill that for that year busts the budget, then that would violate rules for the reconciliation. Likewise, if it doesn't have an impact on the budget, let's say it just did something completely irrelevant, authorizes some new program or mandate something, then those provisions are also not germane under what's called the Byrd Rule. So they're trying to make policy changes on a reconciliation bill because they know that House members, Democrats, not Republicans, Democrats, have major problems with the Senate bill. So they're trying to ram this through. They're trying to essentially buy off enough votes from House members to try to pass it, then send it back to the Senate, hoping that the Senate then can get the 51 votes to pass it.
Is this a legitimate use of reconciliation?
No, I would say no. It's very unusual. It's almost unprecedented for Congress to pass a reconciliation bill that doesn't simply have to do with budget reconciliation. So that's really the problem. Now, there have been instances where they have passed that. In 1997, they passed what's called the Children's Health Insurance Program, or SCHIP. That was a bipartisan bill that had over, I think, 70 votes in the Senate to support it. And they did do that through the reconciliation process, even though it was creating new programs. So it has been done before in that sense, but that was a very bipartisan bill. There was not a lot of controversy about it. Republicans supported it. Democrats supported it. This health bill is completely partisan, and it's actually worse than partisan. The Democrats themselves can't agree on it. So for Congress to ram a bill through that is this contentious, that is this sweeping, that would essentially take over a sixth of the economy, is really unprecedented.
How big an issue is abortion in health care reform debate right now? I mean, some people say it's just a sidelight. Is that true?
No, this is one of the central issues. Each individual member may have different issues that they're concerned about. Taxes on high-end plans, they call Cadillac plans. The Senate bill has taxes for those plans. The unions don't like it, so some of the House liberals don't like that, and they want to fix it through the reconciliation process. There's a number of issues. But pro-life is one of the issues that could really essentially end this bill. Because the Stupak amendment that Congressman Bart Stupak passed and got passed in the House through a bipartisan vote was not maintained. The only reason the House bill passed is because members on both sides of the aisle who disagreed over the substance of the health issue agreed, by 240 votes to make sure that the government does not fund abortion, namely that people listening to this call, that their taxes are not used to fund abortion. So if this bill, which it would fund abortion, as I said, then those members, some of those pro-life members led by Congressman Bart Stupak on the Democrat side, are saying they're going to oppose the whole thing.
Okay.
And they'll bring it down.
With only 10 seconds, why doesn't the president just put or ask a bill to be put forth without the abortion funding in it?
Because he promised Planned Parenthood in his campaign he would make abortion central to his health care plan, and he's going to appease the pro-abortion wing of the Democrat Party. Otherwise, he could probably pick up a number of votes. But he's obviously making a decision with Speaker Pelosi to appease the pro-abortion folks. It shows an extreme ideology that goes well beyond current law. And, it's really unfortunate. People need to let their congressman and congresswoman know that they oppose this health bill and the abortion funding in it.
David Christensen is Senior Director of Congressional Affairs for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Family Research Council at our website, issuesetc.org. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Colleen Carol Campbell, a columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and author of the book, The New Faithful. She's been looking into animal rights, PETA, human rights, and she's written about speciesism. We'll see what she has to say after this. Issues Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.